Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, October 21st, 2021. Front page, Permian Basin International Oil Show. Worker shortage hits employers in oil patch. Companies have openings for skilled labor, but positions prove hard to fill. By Mella McEwen. As with almost every industry across the country, the oil patch is experiencing a labor shortage. In fact, several booths at the Permian Basin International Oil Show sported now hiring signs or signs touting career opportunities. Warren Catt was promoting its technical job openings, something Matt Harnley said offers great opportunities for young people. He listed such positions as welders and, in particular, diesel mechanics. We're seeing people available for general skills, entry-level receptionist, entry-level labor, said Amber Gray, Express Employment franchisee in Odessa. But filling openings for skilled workers, whether truck drivers or certified public accountants, is almost impossible, she said. Everyone who wants to work is working, and those who are available are being scouted by many companies, she said. Gray noted that 6 months ago, everyone thought the labor shortage was due to the extra federal unemployment benefits, and when they ended, the shortage would end. That hasn't happened. Currently, she said she and her staff are taking the temperature to see what can be done to find what job seekers want and what can be done to entice people to take jobs. The Express Employment franchise in Midland is being contacted by companies seeking to fill jobs, reported Joanna Castillo Espinoza, Operations Director, Skilled Trades Specialist. She said the office has about 100 job openings for skilled labor that are difficult to fill. What is keeping potential workers from moving to the area is the cost of living, Castillo Espinoza said, pointing out that when oil prices fell, home prices didn't follow suit. She speculated, too, that some who are unemployed are still receiving some sort of unemployment benefit. Still, this is different than the last time we had a labor shortage in 2004. COVID hit big time. Now that businesses are back up and running, the employee shortage is a big deal. Several exhibitors mentioned being impacted by supply chain bottlenecks, which could explain why truck drivers are a very hot commodity at the moment. They can work anywhere. Everyone wants them, said Levi Moody with Wilbanks Trucking out of Artesia, New Mexico. He said his company, which primarily moves drilling rigs, does have some driver openings. We just don't know what the mix is to attract people, he added. Shane Phipps, also with Wilbanks, said he has found the company has discovered its best employees through word of mouth. It seems where we get the good employees is from our current employees, Phipps said. Small Bites. Odessa Chuckwagon Gang is a hit at oil show. By J.C. Lewis. The Odessa Chuckwagon Game is selling out during one of its biggest fundraisers at the Permian Basin International Oil Show. Chuckwagon Gang external boss Gabe Grerel said the sales have been great, and volunteers are working hard all week to feed attendees and vendors. This event helps us make it for 2 more years as a nonprofit, while the other feeds we do help us pay the regular bills and such, he said. The Odessa Chuckwagon Gang is a nonprofit organization of community leaders that began with the simple mission of spreading the good word of Odessa to as many places as they could get their barbecue pits, according to the nonprofit's website. On Tuesday, the group sold out of steaks during what Grerel said may be the Chuckwagon Gang's biggest day. They served up ribeye steaks, baked potato, green beans, rolls, and tea. Wednesday's menu featured ribs, sausage, pinto beans, potato salad, and tea. Thursday's menu features pulled pork sandwiches, potato salad, and pinto beans with tea. Gruel said the Chuckwagon Gang feeds about 5,000 to 6,000 people during the 4 days they prepare food. Gruel has been volunteering with the Chuckwagon Gang for 19 years. To prepare for Wednesday, the crew smoked 3,121 ribs in their pits and made 150 pounds of beans. They prepped the ribs Tuesday night, then put them in the barbecue pits at 4 a.m. Wednesday. The Chuckwagon Gang operates about 24 hours with different shifts for the 50 to 60 volunteers during the oil show, prep, cook, and clean during the 4 days they serve. Gruel added that the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, Odessa College softball team, and the Odessa Black Chamber of Commerce sent volunteers to help serve the food this year. In past years, the nonprofit sold about 25% of their tickets before the event started. But Tuesday, officials had almost 100% of their tickets sold in person, which created a dilemma. The Chuckwagon Gang was running out of steaks and had to cut off ticket sales. The supply chain issues being felt around the nation has also made it more difficult to operate the nonprofit due to shortages of food, such as tea and containers like coffee cups and to-go boxes, Gruel said. It's very, very different this year than any other time that has gone by, he said. I can't call and get an order of chicken breasts, which we use all the time because the supply isn't there all the time. It is different even from the pandemic. Tickets for the Chuckwagon Gang can be purchased at https://odessachuck-wagon-gang.square.site. The Bites non-oil show version. Wear pink on Wednesdays at Amara Gelato during the month of October to get a BOGO free in a kid's cup for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. The owners of Taco Divino recently took over El Burrito Restaurant, according to a Facebook post on El Burrito's page. El Burrito originally opened in 1979. The new owners have revamped and restored the original recipes the original owners made 42 years ago. Texas Roadhouse in Midland is supporting Pink the Basin throughout October on Fridays with Pink the Roadhouse. Stomping Out breast cancer shirts are on sale, with proceeds benefiting Pink the Basin. Donations are also being collected all month long with benefits. Donations of $5 or more will receive a pink ribbon to display in the restaurant and a free appetizer card. Donations of $10 or more will be gifted a free pink wristband.
Hello, this is Cindy, continuing to read from the MRT for Thursday. Digital Caricature Artist Brings Talent to PBIOS by Caitlin Randall. In addition to rows of exhibits and swag bags, this year's Permian Basin International Oil Show features Angie Jordan, an artist who travels the world drawing digital caricatures. Jordan said she drew her first caricature in the late 80s while she was serving in the U.S. Army as a drafter. Soldiers began asking her to create portraits of their family members, and one day she was asked to draw a caricature as a going-away present for a retiring general. My style started to develop more and more, and then I met the Caricature Society, she said during the oil show on Tuesday. That's what opened doors for me with this. After getting started with traditional caricature drawings on paper, Jordan began the transition to digital while she was working as a CAD, computer-aided design, operator for an engineering company. She got used to drawing with a computer mouse before purchasing one of the first Wacom pen tablets in the early 2000s. The concept took off, and Jordan wrote a book teaching other artists to draw caricatures on tablets. Now the Pennsylvania native travels from Italy to Australia, drawing on an iPad when clients hire her for events like trade shows and weddings. Jordan said she can draw about 8 to 10 caricatures an hour, which can be printed out instantly for attendees and also downloaded online. While many believe the nose is the focus of a caricature drawing, Jordan said she homes in on whatever the most prominent feature is on a person's face. It's just like taking a balloon and pushing your air into the biggest thing on someone's face, but you have to take away air from the smallest feature to make it a caricature, she said. The more you do that, the more exaggerated it is. It can be a challenge to balance the comic nature of caricature art with the insecurities of the person sitting for a portrait, Jordan said. She said all caricaturists have accidentally offended someone at some point. It all depends on what they expect in their mind, she said. If a person asks Jordan not to highlight something about them, she knows they want a really happy Disney style. Jordan will be at the Permian Basin International Oil Show until Thursday in the main building of the Ector County Coliseum. Oil Show Notebook, Emissions, Lodging, and Personal Protection are on display by Mella McEwen. Energy companies are starting to display a laser focus on reducing emissions at their operations, a trend emphasized by some of the exhibits at the Permian Basin International Oil Show. Xcel Compression highlighted its new compressors that utilize air instead of diesel and can help facilitate the elimination of greenhouse gases and help companies meet Quad OA emissions standards. That's the big push now, said Roger Becker, Xcel Compression president. He said compressors are in big demand as Permian production continues to rise. Also addressing concerns about flaring, he said Xcel offers an ignition system that ensures a pilot light is lit, so when gas is vented, it combusts. That way, he said, if the Environmental Protection Agency or environmental groups fly over the Permian, they can see gas is being vented but combusted. The systems can be retrofitted at legacy systems economically, he added. Xcel also offers vapor recovery units, and Becker said the units have gotten bigger with the advent of horizontal drilling, which has increased production. Personal protection. The entrance of new companies into the Permian Basin is helping boost sales at Wayne's Workwear, according to Regina Clevenger, sitting in front of a display of the company's fire-resistant clothing, steel-toed boots, and personal protection items like safety glasses and H2S monitors. We sell the items to our customers who follow the rules and regulations on FR clothing and personal protection items, she said. Wayne's Workwear does embroider corporate logos and sews patches on clothing. Oilfield Lodging in Permian Basin. Target Hospitality, which has 15 lodges providing workforce housing across the Permian Basin, has seen steady growth over the last 6 to 9 months, said Danny Mercer with the company. The company's 15 Permian Basin lodges are full or close to full, and more companies are showing interest in working with Target. Target provides workforce lodging and other temporary modular housing used by oil and gas or mining operations, government agencies, large-scale events, and disaster relief. Podcasts cover Permian Basin International Oil Show by Caitlin Randall. For those who missed the Permian Basin International Oil Show, the hosts of 3 podcasts were in attendance and conducting interviews at this year's event. A PBIOS podcast party is being held in the main building of the Ector County Coliseum during the oil show, featuring the hosts of The Crude Life, The Talking Energy Show, and Tally Book Troubleshooting. Interviews with local and industry leaders will be presented on the hosts' respective podcasts as well as live-streamed on the Talking Energy Show's YouTube channel. The interviews will also be uploaded on the PBIOS YouTube channel and website after the conclusion of the oil show. Odessa Mayor Javier Hoven kicked off the podcast party on Tuesday morning, according to an interview schedule posted by Jason Spies of The Crude Life. Other interviewees include, on Tuesday, photographer Jay Stanley, Joy Brown, speaking on hiring events in the Permian Basin. Case DeJong of Sage Oil Services, Mike Griffith of Knighton Industries, and the Holistic Hard Hat. On Wednesday, John Mark Cavett and Michael Maltsev of Ryger, Jeremy Jess with Baker Hughes, Texas Senate candidate Kevin Sparks, Lance Medrano, Zach and Amber Voithofer, Zach Bowman with Innoverse Tech, and Matt Young of Flow Co-Production Solutions. On Thursday, a roundtable discussion with Environmental Social Governance, Chad Frizzell of CDX Energy Services, and Troy Haben with Wellhead. The debut of Oilfield Edition Family Fracas will also be held during the podcast party. The crude live content focuses on the oil and gas industry, its culture and energy innovations, according to its website. It also discusses the role of oil and gas in global and local economies and environmentally conscious companies. Matt Hill and Ken Levin host the Talking Energy Show and Fossil Fuel Fridays. Tally Book Troubleshooting is hosted by Keith Stelter. Man charged with sexually assaulting child. Philip Benjamin Lopez, 28, was arrested Tuesday and charged for the alleged sexual assault of a 14-year-old girl. The alleged assault occurred over the summer. The victim told investigators she was afraid of Lopez because he had shown her knives and other weapons and told her he had hurt people in the past. Lopez was being held Wednesday at the Midland County Detention Center on $50,000 bond. Opinion. Leaders treat mental health with priority. Stuart Doreen, editor. In this space, it has been written that most significant Midland Development Corps deal created the Texas Tech Physician Psychiatric Clinic, which guaranteed mental health resources that this community didn't have previously. Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center reported this week that since the clinic opened in November 2018, more than 31,000 patients have received care, outperforming the original expectations of providing mental health services to approximately 9,000 children and adolescents annually. From January 2021 to date, the total clinic visits scheduled are 10,972, again the most significant MDC deal to date. Since we are speaking in superlatives, here's another. This week, State Representative Tom Craddock announced the most significant state funding I can remember, $40 million for a comprehensive behavioral health care center for the Permian Basin. The previous statement isn't to say a person shouldn't appreciate the hundreds of millions of dollars for roads or tens of millions for the Performance Arts Center or Physician Assistance Program. You should, and I do. But in an area where mental health was overlooked for years, if not decades, Craddock delivered big time. He and other West Texas representatives responded to the calls from local health care leaders, including Midland Health's Russell Myers, Medical Center Health System's Russell Tippin, and Dr. Shailesh Jain of the Texas Tech Physicians Psychiatric Clinic. They said they wanted money to build a 100-bed inpatient facility to be located in the Midland-Odessa area. They allegedly got less than half of what was requested, around $86 million. But still, there is $40 million coming. What a great start that is. Mental health is the number one public need in the Permian Basin, and this funding is a massive step in the right direction, Tippin said. To a person, the people I have talked to said that the remaining funds will be raised. I look forward to seeing philanthropy and business take it from here. Philanthropy and business are what makes Midland different than any other community our size in the state. We also will see Midland and Odessa work together. We will see community leaders, even those in government, get innovative, and we will see a region answer the bell. They will treat mental health like the number one near-term priority that we all know it is. This will become a very high priority for us immediately, Myers said. There will be more opportunities to talk about mental health and its impact on our community. Even before Craddock's announcement, the Reporter-Telegram was planning a look at mental health for mid-November. The expectation here is that Craddock's announcement will make that examination more relevant. What we will end on today, though, is that Craddock, the longest-serving legislator in state history, again came through for Midland. But he didn't just bring home funds or something material. Craddock again gave people in our community incentive to plan for a better future. Those projects he shepherded or made possible include funding for the Wagner Newell Performing Arts Center, UTPB Engineering Building, the saving and then expansion of the Texas Tech University Health Science Center's PA program at Midland College, language that allowed for charter schools to partner with school districts to take over chronically failing schools, which opened the door for the idea of public schools to come to Midland-Odessa. The language he crafted that allows for the delivery of water from water sources in Winkler County to Midland County for the city of Midland. There are other examples, big and small, that show Craddock came through for the district as we plan for the long term. Representation, as Craddock has shown, isn't about delivering that so-called pork or niceties for the here and now. It is about the future, about a time when you and I are long gone, but the community continues to thrive. That is what it means to be there for a community. And my guess is his ability to help meet the long-term needs of his district is a big reason why Midland County voters have sent him to Austin for more than 50 years. Yes, Craddock delivers, but more importantly, he sends a message that our actions today will make our community better for decades to come.
Midland Reporter-Telegram, Obituaries, published Thursday, October 21st. Bertrand Winfred Taylor. Bertrand Winfred Taylor, 78, of Midland, passed away October 11th. A visitation with the family will be held on Friday, October 22nd, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Jackie Warren Funeral Home, 702 South Terrell Street. A church service will be held Saturday, October 23rd, at 1 p.m. at Church of Christ, 1511 North Fort Worth Street, Midland, Texas. James Matthew Davidson. James Matthew Davidson of Midland passed away on October 17th at the young age of 23. He was born on September 22nd, 1998, to Elizabeth Genoa Moreno in San Angelo, Texas. James is survived by his daughter, Yuretzi Isabella, and her mother, Eunice Guzman, parents, Andy and Elizabeth Moreno, brother, Michael Warwick, sister, Melanie Davidson, brother, Seth Moreno, sister, Kirsten Moreno, grandmother, Dora E. Genoa, uncles and aunts, Jose and Jacqueline Genoa, Jamie Genoa, Dora Genoa, David and Marina Flores, nephew Jeremiah Morellas, niece Madeline Morellas, cousins Julian Gaona, Fernando Gaona, Alexis Martinez, Alejandra Gallegos, Cecilia Rodriguez, Brianna Gaona, Isaac Gaona, Isaiah Martinez, James P. Gaona, Rachel Gaona, and Phoenix Gaona, and birth father Richie Davidson. He joins his grandfather, Jose F. Gaona, cousin Mindy Hagen, and grandmother Jeanette Anise Menantra in heaven. Visitation will be Friday, October 22nd at the Branch, 3800 North Big Spring Street, Midland, from 5 to 7 p.m., followed by a rosary. Funeral services will be Saturday, October 23rd at 2 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, 3800 North Big Spring Street, Midland, followed by a burial at Rest Haven Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland. Live stream will be available at npwelch.com. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at npwelch.com. Jose Angel Garcia. Jose Angel Garcia, age 45, of Midland, passed away on October 17th. He was born July 29th, 1976, in El Paso, Texas, the son of Angel Garcia and Manuelo Marquez. Jose is survived by his parents, Angel and Manuela Garcia, two brothers, Daniel Garcia, David Garcia, his grandmother, Josefina Garcia, and countless aunts and uncles. Visitation will be held Wednesday, October 20th from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., with the rosary being recited at 7 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel. A funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, October 21st at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will be immediately following at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezfh.com. Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home are honored to serve the Garcia family at this time. Lydia Mendoza Cardoza. Lydia Mendoza Cardoza, age 85, passed away peacefully on October 19th at her home, surrounded by her family. She was born in Iguala, Guerrero, Mexico, on May 30th, 1936, to Juanita Sanchez Mendez and Jose Mendez Luna. She married her husband, Jesse C. Cardoza, on September 16th, 1970. Lydia is survived by her brother, Dario Mendoza Sanchez, and sister, Salernina Mendoza Sanchez. Her three children, Rosalinda Torres and Arturo Torres, Lydia Cardoza, Jesus Gaspar Cardoza, as well as grandchildren and great-grandchildren. She is preceded in death by her husband, Jesse C. Cardoza, in 2006, her brothers Moises Sanchez Miranda and Baltazar Mendoza Sanchez. Church service will be at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine at 1401 Garden Lane, Midland, Friday, October 22nd at 2 p.m., reception to follow afterwards. The family of Cardoza wishes to thank Angels Care Hospice for all their support. Arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Mary Joyce Malacan Elder. Mary Joyce Elder of Midland passed away October 15th. Joyce was born in Carancro, Louisiana, on February 26, 1925. Her parents are the late Edmund Malacan Sr. and Lawrence Webry Malacan. Joyce and Cecil were married on September 8, 1949, in her hometown of Carancro, Louisiana, and then settled in Midland. Joyce was preceded in death by her parents, husband of 45 years, and their son, James Henry Hank Elder. She is survived by her children, Diane Elder and husband David Arroz of Richmond, Texas, Deborah Elder Van Zant and her husband George of Jasper, Texas, daughter-in-law Debbie Elder of Midland, grandsons Kyle Andrew Van Zant of Lubbock, Kevin James Arroz of Austin, Colin Henry Elder of Midland, Derek Tyler Van Zant of Midland, Dylan Joseph Arroz of Austin, granddaughters Jessica Renee Van Zant of Odessa, Courtney Ann Elder Brewer of Midland, and great-grandsons and granddaughters. Visitation will be 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, October 22nd, with the rosary following at 7 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, October 23rd at St. Anne's Catholic Church, with interment following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed to the American Heart Association or charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made to npwelch.com. Mitzi Harvard. Mitzi Harvard, 64, was born in Coleman, Texas, to Mary Allen and John Harvard. Born November 15, 1956, passed away October 15, 2021. She is survived by her husband, Jim Bob Trulock, his son, William Robert Trulock, and wife, Margie. Three grandchildren, two sisters, Marcia Harvard and Mona Stone, and brother, John Harvard III, plus nieces, nephews, great-nieces and nephews. She is preceded in death by her parents, John and Mary Harvard, and her sister, Rachel Harvard. Online condolences can be made at SchaeferPioneer.com. Susan Wood. Susan Wood, age 69, entered the gates of heaven on Thursday, October 14th. She was born on October 6, 1952. She was preceded in death by her parents, Jim and Annabelle Wood. Survivors include her sister, Linda, and brother-in-law, Nobert, nieces Denica and Lily, nephew Jamie and wife Valerie, and two great nieces. A graveside service and burial will be held Friday, October 22nd at 12 noon at the Caballo Cemetery in Caballo, New Mexico. A memorial service will be held Sunday, October 31st at 2 p.m. at New Beginnings, 4770 Montgomery Boulevard, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Masks will be required. Arrangements are by Curicos Family Funeral Home Incorporated, 303 North Cedar Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901. Phone 575-894-2574. For online memorial messages, please visit www.kirkosfamilyfuneralhome.com. Death notices for Thursday. David Smith. David Smith, 50, of Midland, passed away October 19th. The family will receive guests from 6 to 8 p.m. Thursday, October 21st at Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, October 22nd at Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Chapel. Arrangements under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at npwelch.com. Hilda Gonzalez Flores. Hilda Gonzalez Flores, 84, went to be with our Lord and Savior October 17th. Hilda was born in Falfurrios, Texas, January 8, 1937, to Salome Gonzalez and Cassiana Garcia. She is survived by four daughters, Esmeralda Hernandez, Yolanda Salgado, Marival Flores, Lydia Flores, three sons, Reynaldo Flores, Basilio Flores, Cecilio Flores, one sister, 17 grandchildren, 20 great-grandchildren, and one great-grandchild. Visitation will be held at Stanton Memorial Funeral Home Wednesday, October 20th at 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. Rosary will take place at 7 p.m. A funeral mass for family and friends will be held at Stanton Memorial Funeral Home at 11 a.m. on Thursday, October 21st. Interment will follow at Evergreen Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to Stanton Memorial Funeral Home and Chapel. Lydia Gonzalez. Lydia Ramirez Gonzalez, 51, of Odessa, passed away October 13th. The viewing will be Sunday, October 24th from 2:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. at 2508 North Big Spring, Midland. The funeral service will be Monday, October 24th at 10 a.m. at Odessa Gospel Lighthouse Church. Burial will be following the service at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery in Midland. A celebration of her life will be held at Class Act in Midland following the burial. She is survived by her children, Joshua Gonzalez, Christopher Gonzalez, Nicholas Gonzalez, Brenda Gonzalez, and two grandchildren. Marina Burunda. Marina Garay de Burunda, 79 of Midland, passed away Monday, October 18th. A viewing will be held Thursday, October 21st from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., with the rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Funeral Mass is set for Friday, October 22nd at 2 p.m. at St. Stephen's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. She is survived by three sons, Balthazar Burunda, Guillermo Burunda, and Huriel Burunda. Three daughters, Leticia Burunda, Sylvia Melendez, and Hermelia Gomez. Three brothers, three sisters, 32 grandchildren, 44 great-grandchildren, and numerous nieces, nephews, and cousins.
Hello, this is Cindy, reading from the Odessa American for Thursday, October 21st. Seliger won't seek re-election. Republican State Senator Kel Seliger announced Wednesday that he will not seek re-election to the job he has held since 2004. After thoughtful consideration and with the reassurance of my family, including my new very vocal granddaughter, I have decided not to be a candidate for re-election to the Texas Senate. From my first campaign in 1989 to today, I have felt overwhelmingly proud to serve the Panhandle, South Plains, and the Permian Basin. The announcement follows Seliger's comments that members of his own party were using redistricting to oust him after years of tension with Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. The Texas Tribune recently reported Seliger was up in the air about running again. He would have faced a primary challenge from Kevin Sparks, a Midland oil man, who previously served on the board of the Texas Public Policy Foundation, the Austin-based conservative think tank. Sparks was endorsed recently by former President Donald Trump, who also called Seliger a rhino, Republican in name only. Following that endorsement, Seliger told the Texas Tribune that it comes as no surprise. He also said recent redistricting was used by his Republican colleagues in the Senate in a way that he says is designed to hobble a potential re-election bid. Seliger authored hundreds of pieces of legislation, most notably Senate Bill 463, creating individual graduation committees, and Senate Bill 150, providing capital construction projects at every higher education institution in the state. Additionally, he played a pivotal role in the reworking of high-stakes testing regimens in public schools. He also authored the first bill requiring ethical disclosure of dark money in political campaigns in the nation. State Representative Brooks Landgraf said Seliger will be missed in the Texas Senate. Always a gentleman, Senator Seliger never compromised his sincerely held principles as a smart and thoughtful lawmaker, Landgraf said. Although he and I didn't agree on every issue, we were always able to work together on projects important to the constituents we share. From the Panhandle to the Permian Basin, West Texas is better because of Kel Seliger's service to our state. Seliger said it was an honor to represent the people, schools, and businesses of Senate District 31 for the past 17 years in the Texas legislature. The opportunity to serve as chairman of the Senate Higher Education Committee and Senate Select Committee on Redistricting, as well as a longtime member of the Finance and Education Committees, allowed me to be impactful in areas of great importance to me and the entire state. Odessa Chamber of Commerce CEO Renee Earls said Seliger has always been responsive to our needs and concerns. He's a big advocate for public education, among other community issues. We certainly appreciate him and will miss working with him and his staff. Landgraf offered his congratulations to Seliger on a distinguished and impactful career in public service to Texas. He leaves a proud legacy and big shoes to fill. Shelby and I send Senator Seliger and Nancy our best wishes as they embark on the next chapter of their lives. Seliger's news release stated he remains dedicated to the fundamental principles of smaller government, local control, and real fiscal conservatism. I will continue to serve the great constituents of Senate District 31 for the remainder of my term. I am forever grateful for my family, supporters, staff, and those who have worked on my behalf since 2004. Thank you for placing your trust in me as your Texas State Senator. Angel Tree empty stocking deadline is Friday. Those seeking assistance this holiday season from the Salvation Army need to sign up by Friday to be eligible for the Angel Tree program or the Empty Stocking Fund. Clients are asked to sign up digitally and must have an email address. To pre-register, visit https://tinyurl.com/y3ah30hu. Enter the angel code Odessa. Needed documents: valid ID, utility bill, proof of income, birth certificate for each child 12 and younger. Only a parent or guardian may sign up a child, and proof of guardianship is required. The Angel Tree, along with the familiar red kettles, is a Salvation Army program designed to help children and seniors get gifts during the holidays. Created in 1979 in Virginia, the program allows children to place wish angels on Christmas trees with clothing sizes and a toy wish list. The Empty Stocking Fund was started by the Odessa American, and the fund will celebrate 27 years this holiday season. The fund has raised more than $2.1 million to help Odessa families with a holiday meal gift basket and with small gifts for children and seniors. This year's goal is $100,000, and the event kicks off on Thanksgiving Day. Readers are asked to donate to help needy families have a better holiday season. This year marks the first in West Texas for Lewis and Laura Melendez, who have previously served with the Salvation Army as Corps officers and pastors in Georgia, Houston, Lufkin, Dallas, and McAllen in the past. The officers have a busy holiday season coming up quickly and encourage clients to sign up by the deadline on Friday. They also hope Odessans will celebrate Hope Marches On, which is the theme of this year's holiday season. Volunteers are always needed for all of the holiday events, including the Red Kettle Campaign, which traditionally kicks off around Black Friday. This year, teams can create a Red Kettle Challenge online and compete to see who can raise the most money through the kettle donations. Visit www.salvationarmytexas.org/Odessa and select Accept the Challenge. One pair of top local lawmen have already accepted the challenge. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths and OPD Chief Mike Gerke will again compete from 2 to 4 p.m. December 4th. Griffiths won the challenge last year, and both are looking forward to this year's competition for a good cause. The likely site will be the East Side Walmart, with one challenger manning each door with a bell and a red kettle. The Salvation Army typically helps about 300 families in Odessa and about 1,300 children through the Angel Tree, Empty Stocking Fund, and the Red Kettle. Questions? Call 432-332-0738. Oil show rumbles through second day. Exhibition of new oil field technology ends this afternoon by Bob Campbell. The Permian Basin International Oil Show is truly worldwide. Outdoors on the second day of the humongous display of new technology, that ends today at the Ector County Coliseum, Engines, Inc. of Jonesboro, Arkansas, showed power plants of varying sizes that run equipment like fracking pumps and water transfer generators and perform other essential tasks. Engines, Inc. sales manager Gabe Tatum said the company primarily makes engines for John Deere products, varying from 10 to 800 horsepower. "We mainly power hydraulic pumps in the basin," Tatum said. "We have a lot of customers here. We just sold a four-cylinder, 173 HP engine to Reliable Pump Company in Houston. It'll be used with a power unit on a trailer." SEAH Global Sales Manager Justin Mick of Houston was at the show with three men from his company's manufacturing plant in Busan, South Korea, which makes the SBQ, Special Barred Quality, steel required for the high-pressure, high-heat operations common in the oil field. "A lot of oil field tools are made from our material," Mick said, adding that the company also has an office in Querétaro, Mexico. "Different grades make up the drilling tools and annular blowout preventers. We start with steel scrapes and mix in different elements in an electric arc furnace to make stainless steel, nickel alloy, and other exotic metals, according to the customer's specifications. It's like baking a cake, but with steel. The oil and gas industry is very demanding for steel." Brandon Porter, president of Western Plant and Pipeline Products in Goodyear, Arizona, and a representative of the industrial DeGauss Company of Bridgewater, New Jersey, was selling welding demagnetizers, which Porter said remove magnetism from pipelines and help welders run their beads without having to wrestle with polarity or the positive-negative balance in the metal. "They don't have to fight the weld or worry about passing the test," Porter said, explaining that a pipeline may become magnetized at the far end from having a smart pig device run through it to record information about the line's internal conditions. "We're looking for a way into the production market." Amtech Drives technical support manager Isaac Wade of Atlanta, Georgia, said his company's soft starter and variable frequency drives were on 300 pump jacks in Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma to keep the pump jacks' motors running smoothly and reduce wear. "We have been to the oil show four or five times," Wade said. "That's how we got Mickey." He introduced Mickey Navarette, president of Odessa Electromechanical, who said Amtech's products are being used to control the heating and air conditioning at Medical Center Hospital and Midland Memorial Hospital and avert problems with bacteria. Omni Air and Nitrogen Operations Manager Dee Morehouse of Midland had brought a truck with a big red 53-foot trailer housing equipment to make nitrogen from air and push pigs through pipelines to move oil or gas and to clean the lines. "Our main business is midstream," Morehouse said. "Nitrogen is inert gas, so there is no chance for fires. We take one of our trucks to a job site, hook up to the line, run the air through a series of scrubbers, filters, and membranes, and generate up to 5,000 standard cubic feet of nitrogen per minute." COVID-19 news by the numbers, COVID in the basin. Ector County, 25,504 total cases, 523 deaths. ECISD daily cases, 5 students, 1 staff. Midland County, 27,850 total cases, 359 deaths. Texas, 4,191,397 total cases, 69,304 deaths. U.S. cases, 45,070,875 total confirmed and 728,125 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Quick hits. Operation ELF. Centers for Children and Families, 3701 Andrews Highway, Midland, is accepting donations for its Operation ELF from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. through November 24th. The center is collecting new unwrapped toys for children ages 4 through 12 and accepting donations for the purchase of gift cards for teens. Gifts may be dropped off Monday through Thursday or mailed to the center. Donations may be made via credit card at centerstx.org. For more information, call 432-570-1084. Email kedwards@centerstx.org. Walk for Breast Cancer. The Hunter's Moon Walk for Breast Cancer Awareness is scheduled for 8 p.m. today at the Mission Fitness parking lot. It will honor cancer survivors and benefit Pink the Basin. Concerts. The Hacienda Event Center, 12610 Texas 191 Frontage Road, Midland, has scheduled the following events. Friday, Los Three Grandes. Primavera, Huracanes y Rialeros. October 30th, Cancer Sucks Fest featuring Eli Young Band. November 5th, Christian Castro Hits Tour. November 12th, Signo, Joe Lopez y Grupo Maz. November 25th, Farruko. January 14th, 2022, Camila, Carla Brew, and special guest El Chaparro Guachenegger. January 21st, Gerardo Ortiz, La Adictiva, La Fiera de Oenaga Impacto Sinaloens. For event times and tickets, visit haciendamidland.com. Garden Grants. The Texas Farm Bureau is offering $500 grants to help schools establish or improve gardens or greenhouses. Aquaponic and hydroponic systems are eligible if they are used to teach students about food production. Get the details at http://txfb.us/gardengrant21. Apply by noon Friday. http://txfb.us/gardengrantapply21. UTPB Homecoming Events. The University of Texas Permian Basin has scheduled a homecoming parade, block party, bonfire, and fireworks from 5:45 p.m. to 9:45 p.m. Friday. The parade will start at 5:45 p.m. along UTPB Circle. The parade will feature floats from student organizations, departments, and spirit groups. The community is invited to park and watch the parade drive by. The block party will start at 6:30 p.m. at the library parking lot. There will be a live performance from the Permian Basin's own Current 9 band. There will also be free food, yard games, and other activities. Pep rally, bonfire, and fireworks will follow at 8 p.m. Visit tinyurl.com/C3KZ8XTK. Bloody Bill's Chainsaw Carnage will take place from 7 p.m. to midnight, Friday, Saturday, October 29th, 30th, and 31st at 2215 West 2nd Street. Tickets may be purchased online or at the door. For tickets or more information, visit tinyurl.com/YBYMR5ZM. Halloween Bash, Abandoned Water Park Thriller, 1220 West Highway 80 East will present a Halloween bash featuring Tony Live Friday. Doors open at 7 p.m. There will be a Halloween costume contest. must be 18 and older and 21 to drink. Join Facebook group La Zoya Halloween Party, established 2016. For tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/TZ8XNYB5. Crazy Clean Car Wash has scheduled a Tunnel of Terror haunted car wash from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Friday, Saturday, October 29th, 30th, and 31st, and from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday at two of its locations. Psycho Clown Circus will take place at 2124 East 8th Street. Zombie Attack will be at 3820 Penbrook Street. Visit tinyurl.com. 3NZKBY5E. Mariachi Vargas de Tecolotitlan is scheduled to perform at 8 p.m. Friday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market, 1788, Midland. Doors open at 7 p.m. For tickets or information, online, wagnerknoll.com. Night of Light. Crossroads Church, 6901 East Highway 191, has scheduled Night of Light Trunk or Treat event from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. October 30th. Prizes will be awarded to the top three favorite decorated vehicles. Volunteers and candy donations are needed. Candy donations may be dropped off in the collection tubs in the church lobby. To register your decorated vehicle or for more information, visit crchurch.cc/events. District approves high-impact tutoring. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees approved high-impact tutoring for students. Recommended suppliers were Air Tutors, LLC, Focus Care, Inc., FEV Tutor, Inc., Hey Tutor, Inc., and Zovia, Inc., Tutor Me, LLC, for a total cost of $5,647,094. The purpose of high-impact tutoring is to provide students the opportunity to close the COVID-19 learning gap through individual or small group tutoring. How much the companies are paid will depend on student growth. Supplemental agenda material for Tuesday's meeting said this accelerated learning initiative supports districts with a House Bill 4545 requirement, which states all students who are not successful on STAR be provided accelerated learning as required by the law. Superintendent Scott Murray said high-impact tutoring has been discussed on multiple occasions. The district received some $60 million in elementary and secondary school emergency relief funds. Murray said the target for those dollars was helping students recover academically from the pandemic and social-emotional learning. Assistant Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction, Lilia Nanez, said 6,098 students are engaging in virtual tutoring and their progress will be monitored. For example, Nanez said the district gets daily attendance reports on which students didn't log in. Other students will receive different forms of support, including face-to-face or small group. Nanez said the students were strategically selected and campus principals are in contact with the tutors and tutoring partners. If a student regresses, the student's schedule could be adjusted or another option for accelerated learning could be used. Strong Mind of Chandler, Arizona, was selected for the district's virtual academy. Senate Bill 15 relates to virtual and off-campus electronic instruction at a public school. SB 15 allows school districts with a district rating of C or higher to operate a local remote learning program to offer virtual courses outside the state virtual school network under Chapter 30A to eligible students. Agenda material said Strong Mind provides a virtual learning solution which engages students with rigorous text-aligned digital courses for grades K through 12, provides a robust learning management system, LMS, to deliver lessons and track learning, provides Texas certified subject area teachers who will communicate with families, teach synchronous lessons, hold virtual office hours, and schedule individual coaching sessions based on learners' needs. Provides high-quality student support services, including special education, bilingual dual language, kindergarten through fifth, English as a second language, sixth through eighth grade, gifted and talented, intellectual focus, fine arts, physical education, and career and technical education, the material said. The cost is $3,850 per student for a full year of instruction, estimating 100 students for a total cost of $385,000. The funding source is Federal Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Funds, or ESSER3. The board also approved a three-year research practice partnership with Texas Tech University to develop research questions, program evaluation design, data collection, and a final program evaluation report for the Opportunity Culture Program. The estimated cost is a total of $270,000 over a three-year contract. Opportunity Culture is designed to serve economically disadvantaged students by providing marginalized student populations with quality teachers, the supplemental material said. A fourth item, professional learning and support from TNTP for teachers in ECISD's Alternative Certification Program, Odessa Pathway to Teaching, comes from the general fund, the board recap said. On a separate item, Murray talked about an invitation the board received to be part of a program sponsored by Raise Your Hand Texas that helps train school boards on how to work with legislators through advocacy and policy development. All trustees were invited to participate and all expressed an interest in doing so. Chief Financial Officer Deborah Otmers conducted a hearing on the district's financial integrity rating system of Texas. The district received an A rating based on 2019-20 data.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.